The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And I'm very pleased to have in the studio, live and in person, Terrence A. Gross with Gross & Schuster, personal injury attorney who's been here how many years, sir?
Next month is 46 years.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. So we're not kidding when we say this is the Pensacola expert panel this morning.
I would say so. If I haven't learned something by now, they always call it the practice of law.
So, yes.
I'm still practicing.
Okay.
I think I've arrived. But
Well, he's got his FSU shirt on this morning. I didn't realize you were a Noles fan, and weren't practicing this week, and y'all did it.
Well, my first year of law school was Bobby Bowden's first year at FSU as well.
No, how cool is that? How cute.
And I was waitlisted. I got accepted 2 weeks before school started, and you could have said Florida State, and I could not have said Seminoles.
Oh.
I went to school in Missouri. I had no clue.
Wow. What attracted you to Florida State then?
My uncle lived here in Pensacola, and his best friend actually was Fred Levin, the trial lawyer.
Of course.
So that got me to Pensacola. Fred probably had some influence on me wanting to be a lawyer, and there you go. But today I'm going to talk about slip falls.
Okay.
And, there's just, it's funny. Some people think, first of all, some myths out there. Let me tell you a few of these myths. So one is, what's the big deal? You fall, whatever. Well, some people end up with serious injuries.
No doubt.
I've had people with spinal fusions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm representing a guy right now that fell.
Mm-hmm.
He fractured his hip. He was in his 60s. He fractured his hip, went right in for hip surgery. And within a month, the doctor was saying, with all the arthritis you got, it's just not going to work. We got to go and do a total hip. I did the emergency surgery, I hate to tell you this. We got to go back in. Now he's had another surgery, all from a fall.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now he's got a total hip. I mean, that's a big case.
Yes.
And I've had people with knee surgeries, back surgeries, all kinds of injuries. So that's myth number one. Now, the other myth out there is, if I get hurt on your premises, then you, the owner of the premises, are at fault. That's not the law. Never mm-hmm. has been the law. And as the law has evolved in the past decades, it's certainly not the law today.
See, that's one of the things I thought was true.
You got to prove negligence. So I'll tell you what I do. I have a lot of palm trees in my house. The shorter ones, I'm able to get a tool and just do it from the ground. I don't get on ladders at my age.
Me either.
I can do the tool and keep them pretty trimmed. But once a year, twice a year, I bring in experts. And these guys have their own ladders. They shimmy mm-hmm. up and they get them really clean for me and whatever. Well, none of these guys are insured. Come on. What palm tree guy? I mean, it's usually one or two people. It's him and his wife or him and right. his son or whoever. And so that's one thing. And two, they're bringing their own ladders. And if they're up a tree real high, let's say they're up 20 feet on the ladder, and for some reason they fall the ladder and get really hurt, what did I do wrong? Tell me what I, as the owner, did I have a duty to warn them that, hey, that's a tall tree, you may fall off your own ladder?
Whose responsibility is it?
A judge wouldn't even let that get to the jury. So you have to prove that the owner has some kind of superior knowledge of a dangerous condition that they knew or should have known about. So let me just change one little fact.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend I'm getting my palm trees trimmed.
Right.
And I've noticed up in the thick of it, it's really bushy. I've been seeing some wasps going in and out. So I'm pretty sure there's a wasp nest up there. But I forget, or I just neglect to tell the guy. So now he's up there sawing, runs into the wasp nest. They start stinging him, and he falls, he gets hurt. Well, if they could prove that I knew about it, and I admit under deposition, I knew there were wasps. And you didn't tell them. Well, there's negligence. Now they got a case because I was negligent
right.
and not warning him about a condition on my property that I had superior knowledge about. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
So these are, some are common sense, but on these slip falls, the law has gravitated and it's gotten a lot harder for people to so-called win or prevail in court on most slip falls. And there's a whole line of cases coming out now, and they're called transitory substance cases. Transitory, which means temporary spills and what have you.
So like in a restaurant perhaps, or
anywhere, grocery store. But so let's say this. Let's say you're walking through your grocery store and you're in the produce section, and all of a sudden you go down. I mean hard.
Yeah.
And you look around you and you can see there's a puddle of water and your clothes are wet and all that. So clearly there is water, and you think, okay, the store is at fault. Well, guess what? You, as the injured party, have to prove where that substance came from and how long it had been there, because you got to prove negligence.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, how can I know? I'm just walking around a corner and I go down. What do you mean I have to prove? And that's the law. So if it's just a clear puddle of water and you have no evidence showing how long it had been there or whatever, a judge may grant what's called a summary judgment. Summary judgment means you can't even get to the jury. I'm not going to let you, Gross, bring her case to a jury because you don't have enough evidence to even let the jury hear this matter.
Interesting.
And then other cases, if you're on real thin ice, the judge says, well, you know what? I'm going to let you get to trial, Gross, and you argue to the jury, but I'm going to listen hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hear all this evidence. And at the end, if the judge thinks there's still not enough evidence, they could direct a verdict. So the jury's there.
Right.
And the judge goes, time out.
Mm-hmm.
Gross, you didn't prove it. I'm not letting this go to the jury. I'm directing it away from the jury and deciding you have no case, and it's not even a jury question. And that happens occasionally. So there's a lot of these cases on appeal, rightfully so.
So as the victim of something like that, then what do? You have the fall, so now do you look around and try to figure it out? Or, I mean, how do you prove it?
Unfortunately, but think about this. If you've fallen, there's two things that probably go through your mind. Mm-hmm. A, you could be in a lot of pain.
Yes.
And B, at the very least, if you're not in horrible pain, you're pretty extremely embarrassed. I mean, you're in a grocery store, you're in Sam's, you're somewhere.
You want to get
you're
up
sitting on your butt,
so
and everybody's looking at you, mm-hmm. and you feel awkward, and
yep.
you know, what's she doing, and all this. But at that same time, and you're not a lawyer, so mm-hmm. you're not a lawyer, and unless you've heard the show today, it might help if you had your iPhone, took some pictures.
And document if
something,
you can.
Maybe there's a witness.
Was
there a wet floor sign?
The time,
maybe
perhaps?
You see a janitor now that had a mop and he didn't get the wet floor sign up. I had one of those cases.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's tracks. So a lot of these cases dwell on little circumstantial evidence. Were there tracks through the water? Knowing so been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or could you see it seeping out of the refrigerated vegetable section? You can see a tree,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this has been an ongoing problem for them. And so let me tell you a true story. So it's 1980s, and I'm a young lawyer. I'm a young buck, and I'm doing a lot of criminal work, and I'm cutting my teeth on personal injury cases. And, you know, personal injury cases, first of all, the lawyer has to fund all the money for these cases.
Oh, really?
And so at that time, you know, I'm not wealthy.
Right.
And it wasn't like I was cheap, but also I'd like to do it. So I did a lot of my own investigation. I didn't hire an investigator, mm-hmm. pay him $500 to do whatever. I would go out to intersections myself. And in this particular instance, this girl fell. It was something like a TJ Maxx. It wasn't a TJ Maxx, but something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a place that you wouldn't expect water to be. So she fell in some water. She knew that. And she goes, I know exactly where it was in the store. I said, well, it's about a week later. She's has really messed her knee up. She ended up in knee surgery, but she's on crutches. So we make an appointment. I mean, she and me, and we went to the store.
Uh-huh.
So we just walk into the store. This is so long ago that I had my little Kodak disposable camera. You know,
I remember those.
No iPhone. There wasn't such a thing as an iPhone.
No, sir, not in the 80s.
No, so I had my little Kodak Instamatic disposable camera.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in there. She just, it was down this aisle right here, Mr. Gross. So we walk halfway down the aisle, and I'm not seeing anything. Nothing that's really getting my attention. And lo and behold, we look down, and there's a puddle of water.
No.
So just, I'm sort of scratching my chin, figuring, now where did this come from? Because we're in a TJ Maxx. There's no
There's no refrigeration or anything
exactly.
like that.
And
so
all of a sudden, as I'm thinking, plop, plop. And I look up, and there's one of those old-timey air conditioning vents, the circular ones with like about five circles,
and they were
rusted out, and you can see all the little drips of condensation. Mm-hmm. So the rust told you what? It's been there a long time.
Get the Kodak out.
Take my pictures, and just as I'm taking my pictures, I finished taking about six pictures. I get a tap on the shoulder. I turn around, it's the store manager. He goes, what are you all doing? And I mumble some weak excuse. And he goes, you all need to get out of here. I said, yes, sir, we'll go ahead and get out of here. So it was too late. I already got the evidence. Mm-hmm. So we can't settle the case. And so now we're in litigation. And, of course, in litigation, you produce things. And I produce those pictures.
Oh, that must have felt great, I have to say.
And all of a sudden, we got a good settlement. Mm-hmm. Based on this, but had I not done that,
right?
She didn't know where that water came from, and a judge would have never even let us get to a jury.
Well, that makes me think of something too. As an attorney, how do you know, especially with personal injury law, when someone's trying to get over or scam? Do you ever come in to cross those folks, and how do you determine a legit claim versus something that's your
really
gut says?
I really haven't
had
that much of a problem. I've heard a little bit.
I see it in the movies.
I think that's more South Florida, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some people overstate their injuries or whatever, but like a staged accident. I've heard of Miami where, somebody will rear end somebody on purpose. I mean, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen up here in North Florida. So, I mean,
well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So I don't worry about all that, but staying with these,
the slip falls.
The slip falls and just the things that, happen. I've had it cut both ways for me. So I had another lady,
mm-hmm.
so she comes in and she actually was a very, reputable lady. She, managed a veterinarian clinic and whatever. So she said, look, she went one of those like K stores or mm-hmm. Junior Food, one of those like stores just to get a gallon of milk. She didn't want to go grocery shopping, just a convenience. I need milk.
Quick stop.
So she goes there and according to her, what she told me was she opened up the thing, got the milk. And as she approached the counter to pay for it, her feet went out from under her. She twisted her leg. And she says, Mr. Gross, I was in agony. I never got up.
God.
The next thing I knew, the EMTs were there, carting me off on a stretcher.
Oh, my gosh.
And I never saw wet floor signs or whatever. So we get into litigation. And in litigation, you get subpoena power. So I subpoenaed the store's surveillance film. And they weren't real happy about giving it, but they gave it. And meanwhile, I took the store manager's deposition, who was mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And his story was this. The manager said, yes, I remember it. She came and she did sort of go down, but she got right back up, didn't seem injured. And I had two wet floor signs up. We had just mopped. So I did have two wet floor signs up that were very conspicuous.
Mm.
So it makes my lady look a lot. Well, the surveillance
told a different story.
It was real grainy. It was mm-hmm. really grainy, but good enough for me. It shows her head disappear. You never saw her again to the EMT. So exactly what she said.
Wow.
And there was a scan, no wet floor signs to be seen. Then there was a little girl that had been fired by this manager, but who had been there that night.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm the one that mopped the floors. He told me to put the wet floor signs up. I just didn't get them up before the lady fell.
Oh, boy.
So the manager was lying through his teeth, and they couldn't wait to pay me money.
Yeah.
They did not want to get that in front of a jury. And it was
interesting.
Very, very big settlement. Now, let me tell you the converse. Let me tell you bad stories. I've told you the good ones. Let mm-hmm. me tell you some bad ones. So now about 10, 15 years ago, I'm representing another young fella. And what happened to him was he was a helper of a siding company, vinyl siding.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in these older homes and
sure.
people just want to put up siding, And so he's up on a ladder about 12 feet off the ground. He's putting up this siding. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he gets electrocuted.
Oh, my God.
Somehow, like electricity running under the boards.
Oh, how bizarre.
And electrocutes him, shocks him, and he falls off. And the leg fracture was one of the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness.
It not only was an exposed fracture, but the exposed bone dug into the mud.
Oh, my God.
Just debride and get all the mud out. It was
awful. Oh, gosh. That sounds horrible.
Plates,
Terry,
and screws, and it was awful. So I obviously took the case. The homeowners had $300,000. I demanded a $300,000. They offered me zero. So now, of course, I file suit. Now we go to depositions. So this house was probably built in the 1970s, whereabouts. So these people, I take their deposition. How long have you owned the property? About 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, if you look at the title search, it had been owned by numerous people. It's one of these houses that in the past 25 years have been owned by four or five people.
Right.
So it was a mystery where this came from. So I had, the court allowed me to have an inspector go out there, and he had to, peel back a board and whatever. Mm-hmm. And what he found was someone at some point in time had cut a wire to something like an alarm system or a cable or something and not capped it.
Oh,
so there
boy.
Was a live wire.
Wow.
But again, I sued the homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowners knew nothing about this. It was under the wood. I mean, so these are new homeowners. How in the world would they know there? I mean, they'd never been up on a ladder.
So they had no prior knowledge.
No prior knowledge. And they were just telling, you could tell they were telling the truth. They're like as amazed as anybody else was that there was about this wire.
Mm-hmm.
First they ever heard about it. And of course, the judge had to grant a summary judgment against me. And we never got to a jury. We got zero because you have to prove negligence.
Wow.
Did he get hurt on their premises?
Yeah.
Yes, but what did they do wrong? These people did nothing wrong.
Mm.
And we had no way of proving about prior owners. We didn't know which owner did what.
Right.
In 20 years, there's no way of proving that.
Sure.
So,
wow, what a shame.
Yeah. And then my partner had another one, and this lady was in line at a bank, and she slipped and fell on liquid,
mm-hmm.
which is right in front of a bank. So that's a little odd.
Yeah.
And we finally got the surveillance. And on the surveillance, there was a guy in front of her with a backpack on that had one of these little Yetis with a spout.
Yes.
And right before she fell, he bent over to pick up something.
Oh, and no.
You could see it dripped out of his Yeti. And again, how would the bank know that?
They have no control over that.
So again, we had to drop that. So we just dropped it because we knew what the judge was going to do. There was no question.
Wow. That's really something.
So you can live and die by this. But and about every law school in America now, there are cases. There was a case when I was in law school. And I don't remember the name of it, but I know what we called it.
Mm-hmm.
We called it the Black Banana Peel case.
Oh,
because
no.
the point of the case was there was a banana peel, but if you leave that banana out too long in oxygen, what is it? It turns brown or black.
Right.
And it was black, which showed it had been there for a while.
Yeah.
So they had a duty to inspect, and there were some tracks in it, like where carts had gone over it. So it wasn't like it just happened 10 seconds or 15 seconds.
It'd been
seconds
there a while.
And that was enough to get it to the jury. And then, did they have a safety system? Because you could cross-examine their managers. Don't you know that people eat or drop fruit in those sections? Yes. Do you have anything in your manual that says you should inspect that area every half an hour? Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's in our manual every 30 minutes. And can you say without any doubt that you did? Well, we don't know. I didn't keep a log. And then you got this black banana peel. And so does this black banana peel look like somebody just dropped it?
Right.
Those kind of things.
Wow.
So, and we end up winning that case.
I don't know how you keep up with all of the minutiae of all these kinds of cases, because it sounds so complicated to the layperson like me.
Well, and then to even get it more convoluted, the law also puts different tiers of people on your property. Invitees, licensees, and trespassers. So invitees, the biggest duty. So I invite you over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're coming. I've invited you. There's a higher duty of me to warn you of any potential danger that you may not know about.
Interesting.
And then to a licensee, It means that you weren't really invited, but you're not a burglar or a trespasser. Mm-hmm. You could be maybe
a reason to be there.
Oh, maybe like a Jehovah's Witness. You know, if I don't have a sign up, you mm-hmm. know, they're legally on your property. You didn't invite them, but they're, you know, yeah. they're not breaking any laws. They're just or whatever it may be. And then you got, of course, you owe your least amount of duty to, you know, a burglar mm-hmm. or a trespasser. You got no trespassing.
Right.
And somebody, that's why people have no trespassing sign, because it does give you, it's not insulate you from liability, but it gives you some liability. And so, you, obviously, the greatest is owed, but it, you had to have superior knowledge. So let's say, well, we just had that snowstorm. That
right.
weird snowstorm. Okay, so you can imagine after that snowstorm the next day, everybody's. So if you went to visit me the next day mm-hmm. and you fell my step due to the ice and stuff, I don't think a judge would allow you to get to a jury saying, well, you had as much knowledge as Mr. Gross. Certainly you knew right. there was snow still on his steps and you could see it. It's actually, there's a name for it. It's called the open and obvious doctrine. Makes
right.
sense.
Self-responsibility.
So if it's open and obvious and you could see it just as much as me,
mm-hmm.
You know, so it's different than that wasp. So that wasp thing, I kind of knew, but you can't really see it. That's a little different, you know. So it just, you have to look at the key facts. One little fact could turn a case on a dime.
I can tell by just talking to you. You love this stuff, don't you?
I do. I like the academics of the law. You know, yeah. I always use the academics for me as best as I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's seatbelt laws or all these laws, I always take the law first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at the facts. And I might say I twist the facts, but that's what lawyers do. You're devil's advocate, and you certainly want to argue the facts, but you have to argue it within the bounds of the law.
Right.
But I'm very academic, so that's my reputation in the community. In fact, I'm putting on a seminar for lawyers in a few weeks, and some of this.
Oh yeah,
I'm
tell us about that.
Slip falls. Well,
excellent.
Just whatever, yeah. And there's a lot of young lawyers. So after all these years, but I've probably done at least 100 seminars in my
wow.
career for lawyers.
Yeah.
And I've lectured at FSU Law School a half a dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
I've lectured at Cumberland Law School twice. So
yeah.
I used to teach at Pensacola State University.
No kidding.
I was an adjunct there for about 30 years.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Terrence Gross, who's the attorney with Gross and Schuster, and your sons are part of the practice now, I understand?
Yeah, they are, and we have 5 offices throughout the panhandle to serve everybody. We like meeting people face-to-face. We enjoy that. So Pensacola at the corner of Palafox and
the beautiful
Savannah's.
Building. Every time I'm at that light, I think of you.
It's the Board of Health. It was mm-hmm. the old Board of Health, 1915 building. Those are limestone pillars. Really
beautiful.
Neat. We bought the old State Farm building in Milton, so we have a great location in Milton. We have a great location in Crestview right there on Ferndon Avenue, which is the main artery, which is also Highway 85.
Mm-hmm.
We are a Mary Esther Cutoff in Fort Walton, and we're on Highway 98 in Navarre. So we have pretty prominent locations, easy access, so we can meet people if you wish to call me in Pensacola, 850-434-3333. We have a great website, grossandschuster.com. We have 5-star ratings only. Read our reviews. I think that's what's separating us from the other billboard lawyers and TV lawyers
mm-hmm.
are the reviews.
Okay. Yeah. So with the slip and fall, if I slip and fall this afternoon, what's the first thing I should do? Call you?
No, take pictures? Take those pictures, grab witnesses, and have your wits about you. That would be nice. Then call the lawyer.
Yeah. But you're the lawyer we should call, correct?
I would hope.
So Terrence Gross is here with Gross and Schuster, and the seminars that you're doing, is that something that if it had need to be an attorney to do that, or is that?
Well, anybody technically can come. It's open to the public. You got to pay whatever. I do it through our Bar Association. We have Escambia County Bar Association, so you could Google that. Maybe dry for the average person, but
okay.
it's all
it could be very
of,
interesting.
Yeah, it's a recent appellate cases that you ought to know, A-U-T-O, that you ought to know.
Ah, clever. Okay.
Right. All right.
I like that. That's great.
Right.
We've been talking this morning with Terrence Gross, attorney with Gross and Schuster. What's your favorite victory with a slip-fall case? Do you have one?
I think one of my biggest was that poor lady with the milk and, yes. and the guy lying. It was much fun when you caught this guy lying.
Oh, that would be.
And she really was deserving.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for coming to the studio. It was great to see you. If you, again, want to get some more information, you can go to the website at grossandschuster.com, 850-434-3333.